Welcome back to the one and only Black Hollywood Live Next, where we talk to everybody who is next in Hollywood, all the people that you need to know about. Today is no different. We've got Kevalina Everett and Todd Anthony from the film Black in Blue. And we're also going to talk about, Jidenna, his new music. Taraji P. Henson's got some makeup on the way, and Usher is about them hands. Find out about all this and more right here on Black Hollywood Live Next.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live Next.
Welcome back to Black Hollywood Live Next, where we keep it popping every single week and we talk to all the people that you need to know, because that's just how we do. Make sure you use that hashtag BHL Next. Hashtag BHL Next. Let us know what you think, what kind of topics you want to hear. You already know who I am. I'm Megan Thomas at Meg Scoop on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever. Just find the sister, okay? What about you?
And I'm Michelle Madison. Find me on Twitter at MICH_MadisonTV, but mostly on IG at Michelle_MadisonTV.
Yes. And today we've got two great guests in Hollywood. You've seen them in all types of movies. I'm talking about TV movies, Netflix movies, just all over the place. We've got Kevalina Everett and Todd Anthony.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you guys so much for being here with us today. You guys are in a new film. You have a new film that's coming out, Black in Blue. Not only did you help, you wrote it, directed it, produced it, acted.
Yes.
Basically, did you shoot it too? Did you like get in front and back of the camera?
We will.
Right. Okay, before we get into that, let's talk about a little bit of casting news. There's a new movie out today called Hands of Stone, and Usher is in this movie. Usher is acting, you guys. He got them hands for you because he plays Sugar Ray Leonard. Now, he looks a hot mess. I'm not gonna lie.
Really?
When I saw the picture, at first I was like, what they got? But Usher, actually, I think he is really, really good. So I'm going to watch the movie. Look at this picture, though. Look at him.
We're going to pay money.
Look at him.
That's how Sugar Ray used to look.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I was like, oh.
That's a rough one.
That ain't the Usher. These are my confessions, Usher.
No limit, Usher.
I have a confession.
What do you guys think about musicians that cross over and play different roles in acting?
I actually love it because, I mean, I feel like when you come from that music background, you already have that innate talent already in you. I mean, I think this is a natural for him. And he done a few movies before. He did the dancer movie back in the day. I forget what it was.
He did, yeah.
But so I'm a fan of his work, so I'm excited to see this.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, all art kind of goes hand in hand, I feel like. And if you can pull it off, why not explore other talents?
For sure. All right, Michelle, let's talk about what's next or not.
Well, The Lioness of the Empire, Ms. Taraji P. Henson, is the latest celebrity to partner with MAC Cosmetics. So what we want to know, is this going to be your newest beauty splurge or not?
Are these new colors by Cookie? Are these same colors from MAC, but they just put her name on it?
Why you gotta do that?
Was Riri's
color different than,
Was
it that different, though?
Well, they
it was
gave
like
it
a little
names.
Bit more orange. Well, the name, some of the names do come from Taraji. They have some blushes, some highlighters, lip liners. But the colors palette is, for the most part, they're nudes. I'm assuming if they could go on Taraji's skin, which has some melanin to it, it should transfer very well with pretty much the rest of the race.
Because,
I mean, you know, we could rock anything. So.
Yeah. Right. True. I love it. What are you guys? Are you guys Empire fans?
I like Empire.
There was just a little truth that came out.
First
season, yes. I was a huge fan. I mean, but I love Taraji, so I want to see how this cosmetic line turn out.
Right.
I'm going to support regardless.
That's the important part. I think we support regardless.
I think it's gotten back to its origins.
Yeah.
Like the first season. Second season was like, all right.
What's up with the
third season kind of picked up a little bit. We'll see.
At the beginning. For the season opener and Andre, I was like, you know he would not be at no rap concert unless it's Kanye.
Right.
And he'll be in VIP. Right. So y'all more power?
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's a different show, though. People need to stop comparing it because there's no comparison at all.
Totally different.
It's so edgy. It's so East Coast.
I love that. And you can't really do that on regular, like, television. You can't do that on Fox. That has to be a paid station, for sure. You know?
Power is so raw.
It is raw.
Very raw. But, yeah, definitely.
All right, let's talk about the fresh beats. We got new music out. Actually, it's a song by Jadenna, but it's a new video that's out called Chief. What is this? Chief Don't Run. I'm excited because I love me some Jadenna. Go ahead and play that.
Cheapy in a new chief cloak. I ain't even said a word, but my suit be spoke. I got a new agenda that I gotta carry through. When your father's enemies trying to bury you, and the royal family's trying to marry you. Long live the chief, nigga. Welcome to your burial.
Yes, Jadenna. This is one of his new songs. Jadenna has been dropping a bunch of singles this year. He doesn't have an album out, but Long Live the Chief is supposed to drop sometime soon. So hopefully it'll be dropping by the end of the year. But, I mean, he's pretty much put out every single that's probably going to be on the album.
Right,
so
right.
Why drop an album? Yeah. Just keep dropping
singles.
He is hot
right now.
That sounds dope.
That is.
I haven't heard that one.
And it's such a good message. I love how, like, there's a lot of music coming out that's representing the struggle and police brutality.
Real rap.
Yeah, exactly.
Hip-hop. Wow. What a concept.
I wasn't expecting that.
And at the beginning of the episode, beginning of the video, you actually see him as a child, you know, a kid playing him and his mom going through the struggle of homelessness and, you know, like dealing with drugs and prostitutes and pimps. He's really just telling about his life story. And that's amazing because now people, you know, you don't have to always talk about money, cars, hoes.
Right.
Oh, wow. What a
There's
concept.
There's a real message out there.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we get to talk to Jadenna.
Right. That would be perfect
that
to
out.
Go.
For Black
Put
and
that
Blue.
Out.
Yeah. So let's talk about that because that actually is a great segue into your new movie, Black and Blue.
Yeah.
So before we get into that, let's talk about, you know, the movie is set in Philly.
Yes.
Why Philly?
That's
We're
home.
From Philly.
That's home you know, for us.
Right.
It was just common sense. Like, you know, we need, and Philly needs more projects to filter through there. It's like, you know, we always hear about Atlanta and Los Angeles and or New York. And it's like, Philly is such a great town to film in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, why not go back to our home and involve people from the city and hopefully bring revenue back into the city?
Yeah. Right. It's just a passion project, and you know, we feel like Philly is where the heart is. That's our home. So why not bring our heart, our passion, and tell this story in our city? It's a beautiful city, and people don't get a chance to really see it. And I feel like it's so many stories in this film that is going to shed so much light on our city. So, I mean, for us, it's just like a no-brainer. You got to take it home.
And it's the film, just has an East Coast feel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's gritty. It's dealing with a very sensitive, not sensitive, but a very touchy topic. And it's for me that the set there is like, this is perfect because, you know, we can show you what a ghetto really looks like.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? We can show you what the East Coast people really look like, as opposed to being glammed up and Hollywood looking.
Can't put palm trees in this film.
No.
They won't survive.
Some parts of the East Coast.
Right.
So what made you say, okay, this is, even though this is the reality that I see every day in Philly, what made you say this is not going to be the life for me? I'm going to do something different.
For me, I just had, you know, growing up in the city of Philadelphia, I had a really, really hard life, honestly. I've dealt with a whole lot, like living in a home where there was, you know, seeing drugs and alcohol and violence. And at a very young age, I knew that this was just not my life. I knew that God had something better for me. And, you know, that was my motivation to go to college. And that was my motivation to get out of the city. And I just feel like, I mean, it was just seeing what I went through was just literally my motivation. I can't allow this to be the end. Yeah. I know there's something else out there.
Yeah. Same. I mean, same here. As far as the living situation was okay for me. I mean, granted, I grew up in the hood. My section where I'm from is called the bottom. So
you can't go any further.
Right.
Bottom.
But My one thing my family and my mom and my grandmother and my father always instilled in me was be better than your circumstances.
Yeah.
And although we lived in the hood, we never operated like we lived in the hood. Yeah. It was like, you going to school, you're going to be somebody. So that those foundational things that were instilled in me just kind of, it was a no-brainer for me to always want to do better than what's around me. Even though Philly, I will say, has really made me who I am.
Absolutely.
As far as just being able to endure tough times and really know what it's like to go through things. So I love Philly for that. Yeah. But it's always, you should never want to live beneath your
Now, speaking about, you know, growing up in Philly in those tough times and not being exposed to the Hollywood life, but you've been exposed to the street life. How do you feel the street prepared you for Hollywood?
Oh my gosh,
a lot.
What? You gotta have the street will make you so strong. Like, you gotta be, first of all, I feel like you can't come to Hollywood and not have some type of willpower or oh my gosh, you know how many no's you get here? So you gotta have that toughness in you. Like, you gotta have that fight in you. You really, like, the streets made me a fighter. I don't take no for an answer.
It's just a delayed yes.
Seriously, unless it's a delayed yes.
It's a no.
Exactly.
It means no means no.
Right.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's also like, I don't know, you grow up in the inner city, we're used to either being told no from our parents or from whoever, or we're used to saying, you know, unfortunately talking about one another, you know what I'm saying? So when you get it out here, you get the nose, or you get you too slim, or you too fat, or you're not this pretty, or you're not, don't look like this. For me, it's kind of like, all right, like, you're not saying anything that really deters me, you know. It just pushes, it just makes me, all right, I'm really about to prove you wrong now.
I will say that Philly will make you independent. It will make you know that you got to go and get it on your own, because your family is, if you was raised like me, like, my family didn't push me to do anything. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to be transparent here, Philly will really put you in a place where it's like, if I don't go get it, nobody's going to push me to do it. And if I got to make my career or make my life different from what I'm seeing or what I'm living. And that's what Philly did for me. So when I came out here, it was like, I'm not waiting on a casting director. I'm not waiting on a producer or director. I'm going to go and get it. And I'm going to go and do it myself.
Right.
And that's just, that's where I come from. Nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody's going to place you in a room and say, here go this girl. She's the next it thing or whatever. Like, no. I'm going to make that, create that myself.
And that's exactly what you guys did with Black and Blue.
I felt like that needed to come after that.
So talk about Black and Blue. What is the story about, and why this story?
Black and Blue is, it's based around the events of police brutality, which we've been seeing a lot of within the last 2 years, especially within this year. And the story takes place in Philadelphia. Anthony Johnson, who is the male lead, who played by myself, or will be played by myself, is an African American.
Anthony.
It was kind of a spinoff. but he's an African American police officer who's, you know, of course, a member of the police force, but also a member of the community. And we wanted to tell the story from that aspect to, one, not do the cliche, which is what we've been seeing, a white officer abusing the Black community. We wanted to show the dynamics and the struggle of a Black man who's an officer and living in the times that he's living in, and I'm also a member of the community. So how do I bridge the gap between those two? Can I bridge a gap, or do I choose a side? Do I not choose a side? So we're trying to show those conflicts that, you know, the conflicts that are within a black male that are both from both worlds, so to speak, but also highlighting the issue of this issue, the police brutality. This, you know, hopefully this has to stop. You know what I mean? Hopefully we can create some sort of understanding, you know, on both sides. I think there's a lack of understanding on both sides. I think law enforcement doesn't understand the dynamics that African Americans are put in from start,
right?
And why we may do certain things, not justifying it, but these are the situations we're in. So sometimes we're forced to do certain things. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, what law enforcement have to go through, because they do put their lives on the line every day. And mm-hmm. there are some good cops out there. Yeah. All of them are not bad. Right. I have, you know, we talk about it all the time. I have family members who are police officers. So we're trying to show all of that in this film. But the ultimate message is hopefully to provide understanding and some sort of healing. Yeah. Healing process can begin.
Right. Now, coming from, again, going back to where you grew up, mm-hmm. and then with police brutality, what's going on, what's your idea of the community policing, having the police officers who actually come from those neighborhoods, mm-hmm. work those neighborhoods as police officers? Is that a smart move?
I think it's a smart move.
Because they know the area.
They know the area. Mm-hmm. They understand the people. You know, for example, growing up, my stepfather at the time was a police officer, mm-hmm. but he was from an inner city neighborhood. He was from Philadelphia. So he understood what certain signs meant. You know, he understood when somebody was really serious, yeah. or mm-hmm. somebody or when to give somebody a break.
Yeah. Right.
Or when to really, all right, I got to put my foot down this time. You know what yeah. I mean? Because mm-hmm. he understood what those circumstances were.
Right.
Go ahead.
When you bring somebody in who don't understand the area, they may come in and just automatically judge that area.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this person can come from grew up in a suburban area and come to the hood, and it's like, oh, okay, first of all, they already got this.
Everybody's a criminal.
Everybody's a criminal. Yeah. Every yeah. black person with a hoodie on with baggy jeans is a criminal.
Mm-hmm. Right?
You know, and we shouldn't be looked at like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I feel like that's the problem within our society.
Yeah.
Have either of you experienced any kind of racial profiling or profiling by police?
Oh, that was like
what?
A quick. She didn't get to finish asking that question.
She got to the middle. I was like, are you serious? First of all,
man,
you all may have, but I'm a black man.
I know I have.
Right.
So I've gone through it since the age of 14.
Has there been anything in particular with a police officer?
Yeah.
What happened? Tell me what happened.
A few instances. All right, so when I moved to Maryland with my mom 1 year, she moved out to Maryland from Philly, and I moved out there, and I'm driving her car. Mm-hmm. So I get pulled over literally around the corner from my house.
Wow.
And I have on a do-rag. I'm in high school. I'm 16. I have on a do-rag, like, look like I'm from Philadelphia, but mm-hmm. I'm in Maryland, and we live in the suburbs.
Right.
So one cop comes, two more cop cars come, and I was this for, and I had my headlight was out.
Oh, wow.
And so he's like, well, and the crazy thing was, I didn't know all this at the time, but my mom had never used the car because she hadn't got it registered or anything yet because mm-hmm. we had just moved there, mm-hmm. and I needed to get to school mm-hmm. to basketball practice. So they pulled me over, and it could have been something as simple as, I told them, I'm 16, I live around the corner. It could have been, you know, well, I'm going to give you a break. Mm-hmm. It was, get out the car,
wow.
let us search the car. After all that was done, they searched me. They let me get back in the car, but I must have had about $1,000 in tickets. So in that same year, I wound up moving back with my dad because I just didn't like the area. Mm-hmm. Wound up getting a warrant sent out for my arrest.
What?
Because, again, I was a kid, so I wasn't thinking about that. So a warrant mm-hmm. sent out for my arrest. Had to go all the way back to Virginia, spent a day in jail, like literally
what?
Fingerprinted
wow.
everything. Picture taken. Luckily, 18 came. They expunged it, but it was like all that really wasn't necessary.
Right.
You know what I mean? I have a bunch of more incidents, but that's just one off the top of my head.
I mean, I've never experienced it, but I've seen it. Like I have I have two brothers. My older brother, who's 30 something now. He was followed home by the cops for no reason. Just mm-hmm. literally, they never pulled him over. They just followed him home. And then mm-hmm. once he parked the car, they looked at him, just staring at him, just to see, like, what is this guy about to do?
Mm-hmm.
And he literally walked in the house, didn't do anything, walked in the house. They knocked on the door and was like, oh, we just wanted to make sure you live here.
Yeah.
For no reason mm-hmm. at all. My mom came downstairs just to verify, this is my son, he lives here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because he had just got off work, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, he had right. on, he worked at like Burger King or something,
mm-hmm.
and he had on like sweatpants and a hoodie
right,
and I don't even know if they've seen all that he had on, but it's just he was a black guy driving a car at this type of hour. Where is he going? What is he doing?
It happens too often with us. It really is. Like I was telling her one day, like to be a black man, when you're driving and we see a police officer, even when our stuff is right. I'm always like a cop will pass me and I'm looking in the rear view just to see if he's going to turn around. Because it's like, all right, I don't drive a hoopty car, so I'm expecting you. Like I've been pulled over out here just off of me, a cop pulled behind me, and I did look in the rear view just to see why. So I'm like, all right, whatever. So I purposely said I'm going to get in the turning lane just to see if he follows me. Lo and behold, he pulls me over, and he was like, "Well, you made a abrupt turn into the next lane, so we pulled you over." And I was like, it wasn't abrupt. I just got over just to see what you would do. So,
did you have your indicators on?
Yeah, absolutely. With a cop behind me?
All these police officers pull people up. They pulled me over the other day, but I crossed a double line illegally. So
you know you were wrong. You know you was wrong for that one.
But I bet you they let you go.
No, I got a ticket.
Really?
They gave it to me. Oh, wow. My fault. I can acknowledge that.
I'll
see you in court.
You're the lady, especially if y'all attracted me.
I've gotten away from many incidents. Like, literally, a cop was driving on the side. I mean, I'm clearly wrong on the phone, on my cell phone, talking, listening to music. And he just looked at me and was like, you know you're not supposed to have that phone. And I literally just dropped the phone. And he was just like, go ahead. But, I mean,
that was a good cop.
That was a good cop. That was a good cop.
Is it a good cop? Because some people be like, no, he let you break the law. Because you got these pretty eyes. That's what it is. He just like batted those eyes heavily.
Like, bam, they work. But what do you guys think is the disconnect? We were talking about, you know, growing up in the community and having people from the community police the community. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, we don't necessarily have that situation. Mm-hmm. But what is it? What do you think is that disconnect with, law enforcement and our communities? Or even just understanding Black Lives Matter doesn't mean we hate you, police.
Right.
I don't understand why people.
I personally feel we talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. There's a disconnect in the community and the police force because, you know, back in the day when we were kids, the police will come to our community centers. We would go to the POW. Like, we had this POW in Philly where
Police Athletic League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where we would go after school and the police would just do different activities with us and, mm-hmm. and they would just be more involved where they mm-hmm. would show their faces more. We would know who our police, who our authority is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now we don't get that anymore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We don't get that at all. So I think that we as the community, we don't even know who our police force is. Mm-hmm. Right. We have no connection with them unless it's a 911 call. Right. That's it.
Right. Right. All the negative stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And when I remember I played like Miss Brenda. Miss Brenda was a she was a local officer, but they ran a flag football league in our neighborhood, and mm-hmm. they would pull up their cop cars and they would watch us play, and so we knew. Like, we knew the officers.
Right.
They knew who we were, but they would do that often. They would run. They would come to the basketball leagues and watch the basketball games. Or if they saw us on the corner, a cop, if he did ride past there, he was like, you guys know y'all shouldn't be out here. Go ahead back home.
Yeah.
And they would joke with us. Like, we knew. But now it's just gotten to a point. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes we give ourselves a bad rap because we do. So our community does sometimes do dumb things.
Right.
Like every community.
Does dumb things.
And that doesn't mean that you should.
The urban community. Right. I don't mean to cut you off, but, you know, like, we're from Pennsylvania, so you go into a place like Upper Darby, no, you don't have the Caucasian people stand on a corner, but they're the ones selling heroin.
Yeah.
Right. You know, to our professionals, the doctors and the lawyers and stuff like that. So
crime's a crime.
Nobody's talking about them. You know what I mean?
Right.
We make movies saying, oh my gosh, they were like living the life and stuff.
Exactly.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. It doesn't give them a right to pinpoint a certain community because everybody makes mistakes. Mm-hmm. Right. So. Right.
Now, you guys wrote this along with Fred Thomas Jr. produced this. Out of all of the different hats that you've had to wear, what is your favorite?
We start shooting in October.
Oh, yes.
We start shooting in October. But I would probably say this producer hat, I mean, that's probably the heftiest of them all. Yeah. The acting side is, I mean, easy. It's not, you know, it's not easy, but that's
it's
what we
do. It's easier than producing, I will say. But I will say, what is so amazing that I didn't just realize this, but because people have been telling me this for years, like, Kevalina, you are a producer. Mm-hmm. You naturally connect people. And it wasn't hitting me that, like, wow, I'm a producer. Like, I know I connect people. I'm always like, you should do this, or you should go here, or you should meet this person because this person can help you. I've always been that type of person. But I've never realized, like, wait, I am a producer.
Right.
And it's amazing to me because I enjoy it. Like, I really, really do enjoy producing. Like, yes, I love acting.
Yeah.
Like, that is where my heart, that's where, you know, everything stemmed from. But I do feel like, from this day forward, from the day I started Black and Blue and other projects, I am an actress, but I'm also a producer. Yeah. So I do consider myself as both. And people will see it. I'm going to be executive producer and actress on every show I work on.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. Right. Speak it into existence.
Amen.
Come on, Shonda and Carrie.
So what's been the biggest challenge for this film for you?
The biggest?
I mean, I'm sure you can't narrow it down, but try.
I think for us, because we, you know, it's an independent film, the challenge normally for a lot of independent filmmakers is the financing part, is, you know, getting the funds to make the film. So we wanted to hit all avenues. We wanted to, you know, try to get private investors. We have our GoFundMe that's still going until September 18th to even raise more funds so that we're covered. Just so you guys know.
What's the GoFundMe account?
It's www.gofundme.com/blackinblue. But that's, you know, that's been the hardest part, I would say, of all of it.
I think another challenge, though, I will put that out there is, you know, because it's such a, how do you say, like, this message is so
sensitive.
Heavy. It's very heavy and it's very sensitive. Mm-hmm. People respond to it well, like, oh, that's such a great message. You guys, I support you 100%, but not everybody really want a supporter or want people to know that they support it because it's so
they don't want to offend anybody.
Exactly. They don't want people to look at them any different. Like,
Can I give anonymously?
You can give anonymously, guys.
Yeah. Go to that GoFundMe account.
Yeah. You're giving to equal rights.
Right.
Can't be offended by that.
Well, you know, as entertainers and artists,
they don't
want
to piss people off.
They don't want to piss off their investors. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's like, I feel you.
It's like, well, I have my social media following, or I got this person that's going to fund this, but I don't want to offend them.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I understand it to a certain point, but at what point do we say, that doesn't matter. Like, it's bigger than
gotta stand for something, you know.
Girl.
And not just that, like, we try to reiterate over and over again that this is not one of those films that's like bashing police officers at all. It's just not what we're doing. We're literally trying to bridge the gap between the two and make everyone come together.
Right.
And I think people don't take the time to really read or to listen, because it ain't like we just putting out information. We're also putting out audio so that you can listen to it as well.
Right,
so you can really get to know the project.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is what the society we live in, you know. Yeah, so
like, we complain, but do we really have any complaints? Because it's like,
seriously,
you have something like this, and if at the end of the day, I expect our community to say, I'm getting behind this.
Right.
Yeah. I expect that. And they say you shouldn't, but because we're the ones complaining and saying, well, this is going on, what are you going to do? Well, you have organizations like Black Lives Matter and independent filmmakers like us that are actually in somebody like a T.I. who has a song, and more artists are becoming more vocal, but our community, they have to be vocal and actually stand up, whether it's through their money or through their voices.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So who do you guys want to work with that you haven't worked with so far, whether it's a director, actor, producer, anybody?
Halle Berry.
Okay.
I'm just playing. No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm thinking.
I would like to work with Anthony Hemingway. I want to work with Denzel. And I've always wanted to work with Don Cheadle.
Oh yeah, I think
he's a beast.
Yeah.
I think he's like one of those actors who you know, is considered like a really great actor, but they don't give him superstar, which is fine. Yeah. But like that dude, he like transforms.
Yeah.
So those are just some of the people like I look at. There's many more, but I mean Shonda Rhimes, like it's a lot out there.
Yeah. I think for me, ever since I was a kid, I've been a fan of John Singleton work. Mm-hmm. So I definitely want to work with him as an actress. And I'm in love with Viola Davis' work. Mm-hmm. I'm in love with Kerry Washington work. I just love that, you know, how she started. She started out and Saved the Last Dance. And it was like that runaway, edgy girl.
Right.
And then how she transitioned. I love her story.
She in the White House.
She in the White House, y'all.
Her and Obama done made it.
Right. And, you know, it's so funny because that's always been my motto. And I just recently signed with these new agents and managers. And they said that in the office. Like, we see you as this person. I was like, where's the contract? That's how I knew. That is how I knew that they were for me. Because I'm like, they have the same vision I have.
I'm working for you. So we know who you guys want to work with. But if you guys were not in this profession, what profession do you think you'd be in?
I would probably be doing hair. I would have like 10 hair salons.
I was going to say, because every time I've seen you, Kevalina, your hair, you have a different style and it's always fabulous. Whatever hairstyle you rock is amazing.
Thank you. I have a hairline now. So I still do hair, but I mean, that's my love. You know, I've been doing that since I was a kid. My grandma did it. My aunts do it. We have a shop in Philadelphia, so... I mean, I would be doing hair.
Okay. Yeah. You will never see Kevalina's hair looking horrible. Ever.
Oh, right. Never.
Not even on my worst day. No. Her hair is laid. Okay.
Even if it's a sloppy bun.
She's starting trends.
Yeah. No, it's crazy that we had that in common because I would cut hair because I can cut. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that since I was in high school. I would be an architect. What I wanted to go to school for originally, because I'm great at designing and drawing and all that stuff. Or the MBA, either one. You know, did that in college too. So
yeah.
Oh yeah, a lot of paths.
I actually did this in college. Wow. I was a radio person now.
Really?
I used to work for Jonesy at Power 99 Clear Channel.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah, I was her morning show co-host.
Okay,
and that was
Jonesy
fun.
In the morning.
But it was funny, every time I would interview someone, I was so curious about acting and how did you get to where you are?
Right.
They'd be like, you need to just come to LA. Seriously. You're like, this ain't you. Behind these mics ain't you.
Right.
And literally, I was like, I'm coming to LA.
So, I'm glad you did. That
So before we get out of here, what is next for Black and Blue?
Man, we have a fundraiser coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is Sunday, September 18th from 6 to midnight. We're going to have a Black and Blue fundraiser at House of Mackay, which is on it's on Vine. It's in Hollywood, but it's on Vine.
Hollywood and Vine, yep.
And right now we have actress and Grammy-nominated singer Antoinique Smith. She'll be hosting the event.
She's also starring in the film.
She will be playing Tanya, which is his sister. And... oh, I didn't even mention I'm playing Sable, which is his wife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm pregnant in this film.
Mm-hmm.
I get to carry his seed.
Yes. And then, you know, of course, we start in October shooting. And then after that, it's all about getting this thing distributed.
Yeah. So right now, we really just need more support as far as contribution to our GoFundMe.
Mm-hmm.
And like we tell people all the time, because we put it on our social media all the time, if you can't contribute financially, then you can do a video for us and just say your name and I support Black and Blue and send it to us or put it on your social media, because the more people who hear about it, the more people will want to get involved and will want to know, okay, what is this story?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we appreciate that. So we're not just asking for your money, you know?
Yeah. And to piggyback off of that, if they want to do that, our social media links for Black and Blue is at Black and Blue Film _ on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. It's on there. Or you can follow us individually. I'm _ToddAnthony.
_KevalinaEverett. But you can also find out
You're
more about...
_Kevalina.
I'm sorry.
Wait, well, I'm glad he knows your social media.
Oh, no, I'm thinking at... I'm sorry, guys. At Kevalina Everett.
He called you out.
Right. Thank you for that.
I'm trying to help you out.
But you can always find out more about Black and Blue at our website. It's www.blackandbluefilm.com.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Support, guys.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of advice do you guys have for people that are actors that, you know, they want to do what you're doing, but they're not so sure if they're cut out for it?
That's the part I wanted to get to.
Especially if they're coming from the East Coast.
I'm playing. No, go ahead. Mm-hmm. This is like a fellas first type of thing. I would say study. Study your, you know, your craft, whatever profession you're doing. Study it. Learn from those who have been successful at it. Really, really, really work hard for it. And it's not, I think we have to understand that because we're artists, we're already passionate about our crafts and we're passionate about what we do, but also learn the business side of it. That's probably right. The best thing someone could have told me. Like, yeah, show business, which we always hear, but business is the most important out of the two words.
Right.
Because at some point, I would hope that if we've moved to LA and migrated over here or wherever you've migrated to and you want to make a living doing what you love, mm-hmm. your business has to be right.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to get cheated. Yeah. So learn a business.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. When you're coming up and starting out as an actor, absorb everything you can possibly learn about mm-hmm. the business that you're getting into.
Yeah.
And it's not just acting, but, you know, try to find out what the casting director's like, what they're looking for. Try to watch TV. Watch these TV shows. Watch these movies and see what they're representing.
Yeah.
Because if they're the ones that's on TV, then they must know what and how to get there. So you need to watch and see what they're doing so that you can follow them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first came to LA, what someone always told me was stay true to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I stick with that.
That's mm-hmm. important.
Don't let nothing, or because LA will try to change you.
Yes, it will.
They what? Will say, oh, your hair not curly enough. Oh, you're too thick. Oh, this and all that. But guess what? The person who had the straight hair just booked. Mm-hmm. The person who was thin or thick just booked. Right. Every day is something different.
Right.
So
yeah.
you can't mm-hmm. really try to go adjust, with what they want. Yeah. You can't
right.
adjust. Just stay true to yourself and study.
And stay
God
strong.
Gonna make a way for you regardless.
Yeah. Stay right. strong,
every,
man.
What you can bring, no one else can bring.
Right. right.
The door is already gonna open for you, so it's just all about studying and be prepared for when that door to open. Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You're in here preaching.
Right. Come on. Collection, please.
And now before we go, you guys mentioned your social media platforms, but let's do it again to
okay.
make sure we get you guys supported in your film. Tell them where they can find you on social media.
You can find me on all social media at Kevalina mm-hmm. Everett. I'll spell it out. KevalinaEverett.
And I'm at _ Todd Anthony, TODDANTHONY. And the film Black and Blue is at Black and Blue Film _.
What about the GoFundMe account?
The GoFundMe. www.gofundme.com/blackinblue. Inblue, not like black, the letter in blue. So just so y'all know.
Yes, make sure you guys go to the website because they're going to start production in October, right?
Yeah.
So they need that money.
Get on that. More important than the moolah.
Right. And where can we find you?
You could find me on Twitter at @MICH_MadisonTV, but mostly on Instagram at @Michelle_MadisonTV.
And you can find me, Megan Thomas, at Meg Scoop on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Periscope, wherever. Just find me. Mm-hmm. And make sure you use that #BHLnext so we can see your comments and see who you'd like to have on the show next. Until next time, we'll see you. Bye,
snitches.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.